All right. Well, we're sure sorry that the preacher's not able to be here, but he's really a wonderful fellow. He likes to share everything he has with people, but he decided he better stay home since he didn't feel good during the night. So he didn't want to give anybody the flu or whatever. All his kids got over it, and he got over it. So he called me this morning, and I'm glad to be able to fill in for him and so forth. Every once in a while, it's good to preach. Now, if you want to open your Bible, please, to Psalm number 46. We'll read the entire song, Psalm, all verse 11, down to verse 11, which is the whole psalm. And then we want to speak on Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Psalm 46. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, or so be it. There is a river, the streams of which shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now, Lord, that you would help us as we preach this message this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would always look into your word and find out how great you are, and Lord, how that you will always reach down to us. And Lord, in this message this morning, I pray that each one of us would learn how that we can be the best Christian we can possibly be. And Lord, if there is someone here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they might hear it too and be saved, I pray that, Lord, you just have your will and way. Again, be with Brother Noah and help him to be well soon, and we'll thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the visitors and each one that's gathered together in your name. In Jesus' name I pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Christ is all I need. You know, in this particular psalm, Psalm 46, the name God or Lord is used 11 different times. And it's 8 times in some of the other verses in the Bible here, according to this. But I want us to notice in verse number 1, our text, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We want to notice that the foundation of which is said is God. God is the foundation of everything we stand for as Christians. He is our Heavenly Father. God is, it said in verse number 1. And God is always the God of the universe. He's the God of creation. He's the God of every one of us. And thank God for that. I remember when I was growing up in a church, and I never really heard the true gospel message. I heard messages from the pastors and so forth, and they told a lot of illustrations and a lot of things. But when I was 17 years old, I went to a meeting, and as a result of that meeting, a Billy Graham film, Old Town USA, I got saved. And I started going to a Baptist church. And it was a wonderful thing to sit and hear the Word of God preached, and to find out that people walked the aisle and trusted in Jesus and all those sorts of things. And so it's been a blessing, and I thank God for it. We want to notice that all these things that God has to say are possible. God is on the throne, and everything God does is perfect. First of all, I want us to notice that He is all I need for refuge. He is our hiding place. A hiding place, a place to go to, a refuge to be into. And so we thank God for that. In verse number 7, it said, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." So God is our refuge. We don't have to worry about God not being with us. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I'm glad that God is with us, and He's going to stay with us and be with us, and He will watch over us. He's our refuge. He's our refuge from opposition. And verse number 9, Psalm 9, verse 9, it says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble." Certainly, we get in trouble many, many times. Sometimes it could be something at work. Sometimes it could be something at home. Sometimes it could be on a vacation and we're going somewhere. There's been a lot of times that Vera and I have traveled across the country, going from place to place, not on a vacation necessarily, but going to see our kids or whatever it might be, and taking the wrong turn and doing something like that. And you had to stop and look up where you was at and where you were supposed to be and all those sorts of things. And you know, as I think about that, the Lord always allowed us to find our way back. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad that we can always put our faith and trust in the Lord. Not only does He trust us and help us from our opposition, but from frustration. Psalm 61, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 61, verse 1 through 3. Let me turn over to that psalm and read it. And it says here in Psalm 61, 1 through 3, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from my enemy," or from the enemy. And you know, God is always there. He never will leave us nor forsake us. We can hear Him. He can hear us as we pray, and He will be with us, and He will not forsake us. And so we can take our prayers to the Lord and leave them there, as the song says. And I'm glad that we can pray to God. He's a refuge, a place of safety, and a place of protection. God is always there. Sometimes we get in situations and we say, "Lord, where are You?" He's right here. If we belong to Him, He's watching over us. And I can cry to Him, and I can pray to Him, and I can turn my heart over to Him, and I can let Him help me out of my struggles and trials and tribulations. And every one of us can do that if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer." And then it says, "For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." You know, God sees us, and God knows where we are, and God knows what we need. And it says He is a strong tower. I like those two words, talking about the Lord. And then He helps us from our enemies. Now, I'm not saying that we have enemies and we go to war, we get in fights or those kinds of things, but Satan is our fiercest enemy. Satan will do everything he can to try to cause a Christian to be discouraged or get down in the dumps, or something will happen, or church troubles may happen sometimes, and a preacher gets discouraged and people get discouraged. And we don't need to do that, because God is always with us. And I thank the Lord for this church, because we have a group of people that love the Lord and love their preacher and love the preaching. And we get together and we have fellowship. And it's a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord forever, because we're going to be with Him forever. And we'll be in heaven one of these days. But we also need a refuge from enemies, not only from our opposition, but from enemies, not only from frustration, but from our enemies. In Psalm 143 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies." Sometimes we try to do things ourselves, and we don't think we have time to you know, let the Lord do it because He's busy. Well, I want you to know He can be busy about everyone that's on the face of the earth. And He can still be busy for us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. And He will hide us in His pavilion, the Bible tells us. And then He also helps us from distresses. In Isaiah 25, verse number 4, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor," a strength to the poor, "and a strength to the needy in distress." If a person is in distress, God is there. We can go to the Lord and take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I'm glad that God sees us with an all-seeing eye. I'm glad that He knows where we are and what we are and what we're doing at every moment of every day, of every hour, of every moment, of every second. He is right there with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Sometimes we forget that. We think we have to do things on our own, but we don't have to do them on our own. We need to do them with God's help, a very present help in trouble, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible things happen, God is right there with us, and He will not leave us nor forsake us. And the Bible tells us in that verse also, the last part of the verse, that He is a storm against, there's a storm against the wall, and we're going to be helped by God. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that will take care of us and be with us. He's all we need for strength. Not only is all we need Him for is for our refuge, but for strength. You know, sometimes we get weak and we get weary, but God is there. He will be there. He will be our strength. He revealed His strength in victory. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 27, the Bible said, "And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." Now, for the Israelites, what was a walk on water, because God allowed them to do that, was a great thing. But for the enemy, they almost drowned in the sea. Some of them probably did. But God revealed His strength as King, King of kings and Lord of lords. And He gave His strength to kings on earth, to Hezekiah and to Judah in victory over Assyria and so forth. And then I want us to notice also something here in 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse number 29. 2 Kings 18:29, we'll read down through verse 37. "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink every one the waters of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and honey, and that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuaded you, saying, the Lord would deliver us." And so it's a wonderful thing to know that God will deliver us. And then it says, "Hath any of the gods of the nations," that's a little g, "delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among the gods of the countries and that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household of Sheba the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told them the words of Reshech Abiah. And now, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that God will be with us all the time. In 2 Kings chapter 19, and I want to read two verses there, 6 and 7. It tells us in verse 6 and 7, it says, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. You know, as we think about all these things and these verses that I'm reading, it has to do with us putting our faith and trust in God. And God will take care of us. The enemy may come. The ones that do not want us to succeed will injure us or hurt us if they can. Look at verse 35 in that same chapter 19. It says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So the children of Israel got the victory. How? How come did they get the victory? Because God allowed them to be victorious. And thank God that He does those things for us. He revealed His strength to the king Asa and Judah in victory over Ethiopia and so forth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. It says here, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against the multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So what we need to realize is when we're in trouble, when we're having things happen in our life and we don't understand why, we can always go to God and know that He will never leave us nor forsake us, because Christ is all I need. He sends Him down here to us and dies on an old rugged cross so that we can be saved and go to heaven when we die, if we put our faith and trust in God's only begotten Son. It's a wonderful thing to realize that God is on the throne and we will gain the victory and so forth. Now, I want us to notice this. He revealed His strength to King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 14, and Judah and the victory over the Ammonites came to pass. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is always there with us. He's with us every time we have a need. All we have to do is bow our head, close our eyes, and say, Lord, I need your help. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is a wonderful God, and what a wonderful thing it is, and so forth. And then I want us to notice that He is all we need for the very present help in time of trouble. As He helped King Asa, reminded by Hananiah in 2 Chronicles 16, 7, the Bible said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Let me stop just a moment and say, is our heart perfect toward God? You know, God's a wonderful God. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And God has a wonderful Bible. We can open the Word of God and we can find from Genesis to Revelation, and we can find all the promises of God that are yea and amen to the glory of God the Father. He is for us. Some people think that God forgets us. But I want you to know that God does not forget us. Sometimes we forget Him, don't we? We just think we have to do something on our own. And we find out that sometimes when we try to do something on our own and we don't turn it all over to the Lord, then we get in trouble. And then we have to come say, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have put my faith and trust in You. I should have prayed to You. I should have read Your Bible and found out what You wanted me to do. And then I should have done it. And Lord, I pray that You would help me to be the kind of a Christian I ought to be. Help me to be an example of the believer in word and conversation, in charity, in all those things that others might be saved because they see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are here for a reason. We're here because this is God's house. You see, we're to be together, to meet together, to assemble ourselves together on the Lord's day. And when we do, we come to worship Him. There are a lot of so-called churches today in society now that just want to have a fun time. And there's nothing wrong with having a good time fellowshipping with God's people and being in the presence of Almighty God. But we need to remember that this is God's house. And we've come together to worship together in the beauty of holiness. And as God has taught us, the things of God, we can find them, every one, in the Word of Almighty God. In Psalm 48, it says, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for refuge. And for lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled, they were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships in Tarshish of Tarshish with the east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. And so we need to thank God that He is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. You know, I remembered back years ago whenever I went to a meeting and heard the film of Oil Town USA and realized that people went forward and made a profession of faith, and it had been my first time to ever see anything like that happen. And the Holy Spirit already at that particular time convicted me. And then I accepted Christ as my Savior. And from that time until this time, I'm saved, born again, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to go to church and hear the Word of God preached. And I thank God for our preacher. He's a good preacher. He gets up here and preaches right through the Bible. Now, I'm not preaching his sermon because I couldn't do that anyway. He's got it all studied out, ready to go, and I have to preach my own today. But it's God's message, and thank God for the Word of God. And so God is a very present help in time of trouble. In John chapter 6, I want to begin there, John chapter 6 and verse number 16. John 6 and verse number 16. Beginning in verse number 16. 16 through 20. John chapter 6, verse 16 through 20. And when even was now come, His disciples went down into the sea, unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But He said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. What a wonderful thing to know that when we're in any situation in our life, whether it's a difficult situation or just maybe just a small thing, but we don't know what to do, we can always know that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He walked across the water to His disciples and got in the ship. And so He was with them, and He was their helper and their guide. And thank God for all the things that Jesus hath done to us and to them. I'll read verse 21 again. And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. He took them out of the difficult times and put them in the easy time, or the time that he was with us. And we need to remember that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to begin reading in verse number 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation, that means your manner of living, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Those are wonderful verses. Our conversation is without covetousness. The way we talk, the way we walk, the way we use our life to be an example to the believer, of the believer, to other people, and so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Let's never forget that we do not have to do things by ourselves. We can put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then it says in the next verse, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, though whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation or manner of living. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Have you ever thought about how that Jesus never changes? We change. We know people that change. All of us probably know folks who were saved and were faithful in church, and all of a sudden something happened. Somebody said something to them, or the preacher said something they didn't like, or they got into some group or something, and they got out of church and away from church, and they're not the same people that they used to be as a saved, born-again believer in Christ. But I want you to know we don't have to change, because once we changed into a new creature in Christ Jesus, we can come to the house of God and we can worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But Jesus never changes. He's always there for us, and I thank God that that is true. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Bible said, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? You see, God wants us to follow Him, and God wants us to obey His precepts and follow Him and do what He would have us to be. It's a wonderful thing to be able to speak as the Lord would have us speak and be able to turn our life over to Him every morning when we get up, and every evening when we go to bed, and every Sunday when we come to church, and every day when we go to work, to be a believer. You know, one of the saddest things that I have known in my life has been when someone professes to be saved, but they get around the wrong crowd, and you hear them tell a little dirty story here and one there, and they do things that they shouldn't do because they don't think anybody knows it. But I want you to know that God knows it. Jesus knows it. And we need to follow His precepts and His will and do His work, because He is all we need. He's our very present help in trouble. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want us to know that there is no one against us when God is for us. It's a wonderful thing to realize what God is and what God has done and what God has said. And we have the promise of all these promises that God, the promises of God are yea and amen to the glory of God the Father. We read the Bible and it pops out at us, and we can realize that it's for us. It's for all of us, but it's for us personally. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always with us, and so forth. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. And so we're glad that God is the one that has builded the house. And we are his house. We should belong to him. And we can follow in his steps. And we can be what he would have us to be and do what he would have us to do. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is always with us and will never leave us nor forsake us. But we need to take time to thank him. We need to pray every day. We need to read his Bible every day. We should do that. Some days we miss, and not on purpose necessarily, but we should not. We should try to just read his Bible every day and pray for him every day and trust in him every day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we ought to be glad whether it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Now, we are busy during the week, but we always ought to remember that God has always been with us and will be with us if we're his child. He wants us to serve him. He loves us because we love him because he first loved us, and he loves us to the end. And one of these days, when he calls us home, we'll be in his very presence. And then we'll be in all eternity, just like God is in all eternity today. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, as we come into your presence, and we thank you for who you are and what you are and what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us each one to look into the Word of God on a daily basis and follow your precepts. And Lord, we know sometimes we get down in the dumps and we get into troubles, and things happen, and maybe people come and say things to us that upset us. And Lord, we need to just get on our knees and pray for that person. And then, Lord, we need to ask you to help us through all of our troubles and trials and tribulations. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here this morning that's not sure of their salvation, that they would come and find Jesus as their Savior, because that's the only way to heaven, and it's an eternal thing. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless us now. And Lord, as we have this invitation, and Lord, as we sing the hymn, and Lord, as we pray in our hearts that we might be what you'd have us to be, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lead, guide, and direct us now in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.